UFM Business Hour with Lethabo Mashaba.
Welcome back to the UFM Business Hour. Interesting developments, and I want to guess that you would have caught wind of the news already that the American e-commerce company Amazon is planning to extend its footprint to South Africa. The multinational company is to set up its operations in Cape Town sometime next year. I'm sure a lot of online shoppers are eagerly waiting to see how the arrival of this company will contribute to their online shopping experience. I am joined now by analyst Mr. Tshepo Matsiba, just to explore the possible changes that will come with this development. Tshepo, hi, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Kawa. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Sure. So an e-commerce giant, very established powerhouse, making its way to our shores. First of all, should we be excited about this?
Look, there are opportunities and shortfalls in any environment where a mega online platform such as Amazon comes down to our shores. Firstly, we have existing role players such as Takealot that may have a different view. From a consumer point of view, it is a positive thing. Additionally, from a foreign direct investment perspective, that you have a company like Amazon saying we want to actually build our headquarters for Africa in South Africa and expand from there, reinforces that vision that South Africa is actually a gateway to key markets on the African continent, and therefore it's an opportunity that we should embrace. And I think on an individual level and a consumer level, I think consumers are well within their rights to be excited about the various offerings that Amazon has to offer. Mm-hmm. But we may talk about, I think, the shortfalls.
Yeah. And we are going to talk about the shortfalls. But before, I imagine one of the things that, you know, can widely be anticipated or are anticipated is the creation of jobs or employment for locals. How significant do you expect, you know, their contribution to be in that regard?
Yeah, look, there's some decent work opportunities that will be created, but they are not, in thousands. As we anticipate. Amazon itself has not revealed how many jobs actually they anticipate to create in the local market, especially understanding that this is not these are not jobs. The service is not physically heavy and infrastructure heavy, and therefore you don't expect that there will be thousands of people sitting in one environment and transacting. Amazon will still leverage its own global footprint to make sure that they don't spend a significant amount of money on labor and people. But we expect that at least there will be some decent job opportunities, especially for people in the tech environment. We've seen that they've issued out, and there's a circulation of roles that would be advertised by Amazon, including in the technology space around developers, and it's very appealing for the Cape Town market, really, as a place where the technology and the survey individuals work. But having said that, one of the reports says that Amazon is actually advertising just over 300 jobs in South Africa, which is not a negative issue. It's a positive thing. But when you compare that with Takealot really employing over 2,000 people, excluding the partner network of distributors, the number is very low. Mm-hmm. But we are yet to see what those jobs are specifically and what will be the contribution to foreign direct investment or to our GDP here in South Africa.
Mm. I like that you mentioned Takealot because currently it is the biggest e-commerce platform in South Africa. Do you foresee Amazon destabilizing them?
In the online space, you never know what happens. When Uber came into South Africa, we were very worried about a lot of people in the taxi industry were concerned, in the transport industry, that Uber would actually destabilize the taxi industry completely. But we've seen that the South African traditional taxi industry remains resilient and continues to operate. And when you look at Takealot as an existing platform, they may struggle competing with a giant such as Amazon, because Amazon comes with actually big pockets But understand that, Think A Lot was formed by former MWEB CEO Kim Reed and the US-based investment firm Tiger Global Management, which acquired that business that used to be called Take Two, renaming it later to TakeALot.com. And then later on, they acquired Mr. Delivery, which they then rebranded Mr. D Food, and then Superbalist.com. So it's a holistic proposition. They took over also Kalahari.com at some point and completed that merger successfully in 2015. So they are a significant player. But it's reported as of 2019 that Take A Lot contracts with over 4,500 delivery drivers around the country, taking out over 1.6 million monthly deliveries. So it's a significant player. We don't know. They equal a presence, distribution centers here in Gauteng and in the Western Cape. And they distribute around the country. But we don't know. What we know, though, is that Amazon is a significant brand. Mm. And they've got muscle. They've got financial muscle. They've got a background. They've got the techniques. While Take A Lot understands the local market already.
Yeah.
So it will be good to see how that competition unfolds.
Tepo, there aren't too many players in this field, but we have big-time businessmen or entrepreneurs in South Africa, and I would have expected that with their research and constant search for opportunities, at least one of them would have spotted the opportunity or niche that Amazon did. Why do you think no South African entrepreneur has cared to seize this opportunity?
Yeah, look, we haven't done research to determine whether there's no or zero South African companies that have explored this market. I think there are various other entrepreneurs who are trying out, but definitely not at a scale of Take A Lot, and definitely not at a scale of Amazon.
Yeah.
And so it's most probably a question of access to capital, especially for the what you could call the black industrialists. But overall, it is actually surprising that some of the billionaires or the capitalists or people with access to resources, financial resources, beyond just Patrice Motsepe, because we always almost look to him to invest. But there are the Asante Lezungus who are owning football clubs such as Amazulu.
Mm.
And that they could actually form consortiums and take on the e-commerce space. And it's actually, you are quite right that it's amazing that we are not seizing the moment and capitalizing on opportunities before other people come in, to a point where the likes of Amazon has to come and launch here. So as to give us a wake-up call. I think this is going to give the likes of Macro, TakeALot.com, and other online, competent online retailers in South Africa a run for their money.
Yeah.
But also, it may have an impact on jobs. Because, when you look at the impact of, as I've referenced earlier, of platforms such as Uber on some employment that was in the taxi industry, for example, it was quite severe, and hence you saw the response that you've seen, and it's been a challenge around the world. Technology on its own is a disruptor, and it can be a positive disruptor, but when locals don't embrace and seize the moment, I think it's going to be problematic, especially if you look at the there's no industry in the retail sector where Amazon, retail, including motoring, where Amazon doesn't play.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be fascinating to see how role players such as Exclusive Books, our own local bookstores, are going to survive this one. Interesting to see indeed.
Hmm. Tepo, let me ask you this, and I know foreign direct investment is an important concept. Government puts in so much effort in trying to garner foreign investment, but is there a time when foreign investment hampers local business development?
Yeah, look, if foreign direct investment can only be due positive for the country, it becomes a negative when there are no principles that are clear to protect the local economies. So whenever you get foreign direct investment or investors coming to a country, they have to come to do so within a certain parameters of the law. You have to protect your market, but you also have to protect your consumers. Because if you open the market, for example, in the area of chicken imports, And without creating a governance structure, you almost create an opportunity where the space for poor products to come into the market and adversely affect consumers. But most importantly, you also run a significant risk that you would close local businesses and local manufacturing. And we've seen it in the retail, fashion, and textile environment, where a lot of imported products have now hampered the development of local products. And over a period of time, the South African textile industry has, of course, been bleeding. We see pockets of excellence with businesses picking up and talented designers picking up from time to time. But overall, it's been a significant struggle in the textile industry. And that industry specifically is a key learning area, aware of how we need to ensure that foreign direct investment doesn't necessarily result in a takeover, complete takeover of a country and its identity and its capability, because in the long run, we are going to need our own people to survive. And the more you export instead of import, the better you are. So we need to try to create a lot of goods and services here at home, especially given the access that we have to the wealth of minerals and resources in our on our shores.
Tshepo, I want us to switch to another topic that I know you, like many other South Africans, do not merely have opinions on, but are somewhat concerned about. And this is a topic that has continued to gain momentum in the past couple of weeks because of an incident that happened in Krugersdorp. But really, this is a long-standing problem in provinces such as the Northwest, where mining is a big economic activity. That is the problem of illegal miners, or zamazamas, as they have been widely referred to. Exactly whose responsibility is it to end or to address illegal mining?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a holistic challenge that includes government and the private sector and, to an extent, civil society. And I'll start with civil society because we are the ones who live near the mines, and we need to report near the abandoned mines, and we need to report activities where we see in advance, where we see that the illegal mining is taking place and thus adversely affecting our communities. Secondly, the responsibility of the private sector, ultimately, because they are the ones who invested in the mines and actually reaped the significant benefits in those mines. And so there's a process I call, in simple language, cleaning up. That once you've now extracted the minerals and the resources of our land, that you need to close up shop and clean up thoroughly and clean up properly. And if we cleaned properly, if the companies that benefited from these mines cleaned properly and did a thorough job, there wouldn't be an opportunity for illegal mining to happen, because illegal mining threatens not only the economy of the country, but it also threatens lives. Besides the rapes that you've heard about, people die, actually. Even the illegal miners themselves die in those mines, because it's very, very risky over a period of time. But it also poses a significant challenge to our ecosystem around people who are not competent, who don't have the skill, who are keep digging below ground. And the consequences of that over a period of time on our environment and as a country. And so it's a significant problem. Lastly, I mean, there's government itself as a stakeholder in the form of the Department of Minerals and Energy, and as a regulator of the industry, that government should actually enforce the law. And unfortunately, this is where we are bleeding the most, that the government doesn't seem to have the capability to enforce the law. The Department of Minerals and Resources and can have all the capabilities and research papers, but unless there are inspectors who walk around the communities, who walk around ex-mines to help enforce and issue penalties to companies that leave open holes for illegal mining, unless that happens, the police cannot succeed in dealing with illegal mining, because the police themselves are not competent about which areas of mining have been left abandoned. Their job is actually to just enforce the law. But for them to enforce the law, they need to be told about the gaps, and so that monitoring can happen. These private companies ought to also use their own resources, private security, to go and protect the environment where they did the jobs before. And unfortunately, in our country, I think we are too lenient to the corporate and greedy corporate international companies who come here mine the land, and when they are done, they leave things. And we've seen what happened to miners in this country, illegal miners who die, sadly, in those terrible areas.
Another thing I want to get your thoughts on, and I know crime is crime, regardless of whom it is committed by, but is it not bothersome that foreign nationals are able to enter the country illegally to conduct illegal or criminal activities, sometimes crimes that they would never dare commit in their own countries? Do we realize the extent of this problem as a country?
Yeah, look, I mean, when you look at the initiatives by the Department of Foreign Affairs, not Foreign Affairs, Home Affairs, under the leadership of Dr. Motsoaledi, Aaron Motsoaledi, you can see that efforts are being made to deal with our porous borders. Efforts are being made to deal with illegal immigration. Unfortunately, illegal immigration is not only a problem in South Africa. It's a global challenge. But in South Africa, the problem is that we have a high prevalence of corruption. And so it's easy for people to cross borders and come into South Africa and do as they wish and as they please, because the borders are open. It's easy to come in and it's also easy to leave.
Yeah.
And so that creates a space for crime. It's also amazing how the extent to which they come into the country with the high levels of ammunition and complex ammunition. And one wonders where that comes from. And it speaks to our lack and poor intelligence in the area of state security, because we don't think, we are always chasing things that have already happened. We can't anticipate the crimes and the crises before they happen. And so there is there doesn't seem to have been a consistent will to deal with the issue. I think Dr. Motsoaledi and his team are working hard right now, and they're sending the right messages and the right signals. But over a period of time, we have not been consistent with the issue. And so we are a mess in the area of protecting our borders and our sovereignty.
Sure. Mr. Tshepo Motsoaledi, such a pleasure chatting to you this evening. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
UFM Business Hour, Mondays to Thursdays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Only on UFM. In tune with you.